Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, as he is every Wednesday night, Mike Fouché. Mike Fouché, The Daily Line, covers Chicago politics.
Good
Cook
to be
County,
here.
Springfield. Good to see you, buddy. How you been?
I'm awesome, thanks.
All right, so let's get right to it. Today we're going to talk about what happened to City Council, some borrowing plans, some other things, but the big news in state politics is the announcement today that State Senator Daniel Biss reversed decision on Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa as his running mate for lieutenant governor.
Yeah, this is a huge deal.
Set this story up because this is something that started to bubble up a little bit.
Right.
Namely, when Brad Schneider, the congressman on the North Shore, changed his endorsement.
First off, the drama of all this is that right now candidates are out trying to collect signatures to put them on the ballot. So Biss making this change at the last minute really screws up his signature collecting operation, which he has to really get done in the next month and a half or so. So, you know, this and he's got to find somebody else that's going to be his running mate.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, who wants to do that now, right? So what this all goes down to is that Congressman Brad Schneider a couple of weeks ago came out with a statement saying that he was withdrawing his support of Daniel Biss for governor because Biss's running mate at the time, Alderman Carlos Rosa, was a supporter of BDS, which is, for those of you who don't know, BDS is a program, boycott,
divest
sanction against Israel because of their treatment of Palestinians. And that Carlos Rosa supposedly was in support of BDS, and that for that reason, Congressman Schneider and other leading Jews in the North Shore could not support Biss for that
now,
reason.
Now, the choice of Alderman Rosa was intriguing in the sense that this was everyone knows Alderman Rosa to be a progressive Democrat from Chicago.
Major leader in the Democratic Socialists of America.
So the idea being that this was really going to cement State Senator Daniel Biss as the progressive choice Democrats for governor.
And to draw a lot of Bernie supporters.
Right.
That's the big expectation.
Rosa was a delegate.
Very early
Bernie
supporter
Sanders,
of Bernie Sanders.
So let's do this. Let's bring him in. Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa is on the line with us now. Alderman Rosa, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk about this because there's a lot of in the statement today that Senator Biss put out, there was sort of this statement that you changed course, that you changed your where you stood on this issue, and he didn't know about it, that's why he was reversing course. What happened here? To take us up to this point of why you were dropped from the ticket.
Yeah, so, you know, I have been consistent in my position for a number of years in numerous public forums, and I want to explain exactly what that position is. I support a two-state solution that ends occupation of Palestine, that recognizes Israel's right to exist with security, and recognizes the humanity of the Israeli and Palestinian people. And I believe that the U.S. federal government has a role to play in exerting pressure to achieve that two-state solution. And that's why I said that the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement is part of a constructive dialogue that finds the most effective tool that the U.S. can exert to bring about that two-state solution. And at the same time, I've been consistent in my opposition to BDS at the state and local level because foreign policy is the purview of the federal government and not local jurisdictions.
But there are people who say that this is actually really not just a federal issue. In fact, last year, State Treasurer Frerichs put out a press release trumpeting that the state was investing in Israel bonds. I mean, the state has a significant amount of money to invest, and it has relationships with Israel for various economic reasons. I mean, this is a state issue to some extent as governor and lieutenant governor.
Yeah, and I was consistent in my opposition to BDS at the state and local level. When this issue came before the city council in 2015, I voted to ensure that the city would not support BDS. My opposition to it is on a distinction between local and the federal government. So I believe that this is a foreign policy issue. I believe that the question here is to determine when it comes to governments, what role does the U.S. federal government play in exerting pressure and in projecting leadership to bring about a two-state solution? And I believe that BDS is part of a constructive dialogue. We have to figure out what's the best way for the U.S. government to exert pressure to bring about a two-state solution.
So why do you think that if this is something that isn't a federal, it isn't a state issue, and if it's just a federal purview, why do you think that Daniel Biss all of a sudden has to make such, I mean, put you aside, okay? I know this is kind of a bad thing for you. But I mean, a decision right now to do this, Daniel Biss must actually really think that this is a significant issue for him and his campaign. Why would he make such a big decision if it wasn't a state issue?
You know, I was hopeful that we would find a way to articulate our differences on the role that the BDS movement plays at the federal level, that we could explain to the public that we're proud that we both oppose BDS at the state and local level, and move our campaign forward to focus on the issues that are of critical importance to the working families of Illinois: winning Medicare for all, winning affordable child care for working mothers, winning a $15 living wage now, and winning free college tuition for our students. But, you know, after so many days of conversation, it became clear that our difference of opinion on this issue would make it impossible to continue moving forward.
The editorial board today from the Tribune tweeted out, like, at Daniel Biss saying, you know, you should have done a better job vetting this. I can't believe you missed this kind of thing. I mean, was this issue talked about at all when you were drafted to be the lieutenant governor candidate? Did the issue of Israel come up in conversation when you were chosen?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been consistent in my position. I was prepared to explain how I have consistently opposed BDS at the state and local level. I provided the campaign with the statements that I made in 2016 at the People Summit, which at that interview at the People Summit, I explained how I believe it's part of a conversation and that we should consider the role that the BDS movement plays at the federal level in exerting pressure to bring about a two-state solution.
Do you push back, Carlos, on the idea that you're being categorized, that you changed your position?
Absolutely. I have never been inconsistent on my position. For a number of years, in numerous public forums, I have espoused where I stand on this issue, and I'm sorry that the senator didn't understand those facts.
Well, so do you think that this means that he's basically locked up by a particular interest group and that he's not really willing to try and work on compromise?
I believe that in our own ways, Senator Biss and I are going to continue to fight for the central issues that were the things that brought me on this ticket. Medicare for all, free college tuition. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm focused on at this point.
Do you find yourself...
How do we continue to build that movement?
Carlos, do you find yourself, you know, being in this predicament, which is somewhat unusual predicament for politicians to have reverse course and be dropped from a ticket, do you find yourself, you know, with your political movement and the progressives here in Chicago, do you find yourself looking at different candidates? Do you find yourself fighting for those issues outside of this race? What's the next move for you?
Yeah, so, you know, the movement that progressives are building across this country is a diverse movement that's bringing people together from all backgrounds to fight for issues of economic justice, to fight to ensure that we have a government that's of form by the people and not a rich and powerful few. And I'm committed to continue building that movement. I'm proud of the work I've done building that movement as a Chicago alderman. And that's exactly what I'm going to continue to focus on doing, is working with this broad array, with this diverse group, to move forward on these key issues that are impacting Chicagoans, that are impacting Illinois, that are impacting American working families. Now, as for who I'm going to be supporting, I will be supporting the candidate that's going to be most likely to deliver on those issues, that's going to give us Medicare for all, a $15 living wage today, affordable child care, and free college tuition.
What if that's Senator Biss? I mean, that's what he's running on. You said he's running on that himself. I mean, are you going to back him even though he dropped you?
Is that I'm going to be supporting the candidate most likely to deliver those things. And that's what I'm looking at right now in the field. So, but ultimately, like I said, the work to win those things is bigger than any one candidate. It's about a movement. And that's what I'm focused on moving forward, is building that movement.
So do you think that you and the Democratic Socialists of America would now be interested in supporting Amaya Pawar for governor?
Like I said, I want to see who's going to be most likely to deliver on those issues of social and economic justice. And I think that a lot of people are going to be looking long and hard at the candidates, just like I am, to see who's going to be most likely to deliver on those issues.
Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa, the former lieutenant governor candidate.
And now alderman and from the 35th
Ward.
And now
alderman, back to being... Now you're back to being alderman. Boo-hoo, right? All right, alderman, great. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Mike Fouché in studio here on The Download. We talk to Mike every Wednesday at dailyline.net. All right, so we just had Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa on. What impact does it have? I mean, as you said right at the top, the idea that this is a precious time for all candidates because they have to get their signatures in by deadline, which is coming up soon here. The idea that what actual impact does it have on Senator Biss's campaign?
It's big. I mean, you know, these guys, they're at this point, what campaigns are trying to do is build momentum. And they're trying to demonstrate that they're moving forward and that they have a plan and trying to let volunteers know that, you know, they got stuff going on. This stuff, you know, Pritzker, he's starting to, you know, gain some baggage with some of the stuff about Blagojevich and other things like that. And, you know, people are starting to say, you know, maybe Pritzker is not going to be the guy to do it. Maybe Biss is the guy. But now all of a sudden, you know, this is bad news.
Who does it help the most? Who does it help that the stumble in the Biss campaign?
Well, it certainly helps J.B. Pritzker. There's no question about that. But, you know, maybe it also helps Amaya Pawar. You know, Amaya Pawar and Biss really both going after the same group of Bernie voters. And I think if Amaya Pawar is able to gain some momentum from that, that's a huge deal. The advantage that Biss has had for a while is that he had like $1.3 million of cash left over from when he ran for comptroller in 2016, and he dropped out of the race.
Right.
So he always had a bunch of money, and he has a really good donor base, which on the North Shore, North Shore Jews, that's his main donor base because he represents that area as a state senator.
Does Senator Biss have to – I mean, I don't think he has to change his messaging, but, I mean, he was kind of being – like you just mentioned, like the guy going after that Bernie vote – well, dropping a Bernie delegate and changing course in the middle because of his stance, a stance that's pretty popular with the Bernie voters. I mean, what is it? I mean, it almost signals that Senator Biss, to stay in the race, has to think of a different course of action.
You know, the thing that it does is that it makes it very clear that Daniel Biss changed direction in a big way because of a particular interest group. And that's a terrible narrative. I mean, basically, you're no longer able to say, I'm a man for myself and I stand for my ideas. You're not able to do that anymore because everyone's going to point at this and says, well, what about that time?
Speaking of what about that time, as you mentioned with J.B. Pritzker, I mean, this seems to be the game plan or the blueprint for a Pritzker opposition, whether it be campaigns in the primary or the Republicans, is going to be his affiliation with Rod Blagojevich. We saw it earlier where Pritzker showed up on the FBI tapes. That was the first drop. Today, the Tribune reporting that a little quid pro quo, perhaps, when giving money to Blagojevich, and then Blagojevich turning around and giving money back to Pritzker interests. I mean,
right.
Is this going to be the kind of thing that we see in this campaign where every month a new Blagojevich-Pritzker story gets dropped?
Probably. Or, you know, Pritzker giving money to some person that's not great or some organization that turned out to go bad later on. I mean, J.B. Pritzker was at the top of the list for every Democrat political fundraiser and, you know, a lot of charity organizations. And he wrote a lot of checks. I mean, he's been a guy that's given a lot of money, and people knew J.B. Pritzker was somebody who wrote checks more than the other Pritzkers. And so I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff out there that he's given to that has gone bad. You know, how would he know? I mean, you know, a lot of things happen over the years.
Right.
And it's not surprising that J.B. Pritzker back in the early aughts gave money to the Democratic governor.
But the idea of being, I mean, and I'm not suggesting there's any wrongdoing, but in the state of Illinois, to be on FBI tapes or to have the inference of possible wrongdoing or just not wrongdoing, but shady businesses where you give money and you get something in return. That's textbook sort of the Chicago way. And it can't look good for the Democratic leader who wants to do things differently.
It's one thing to hear that somebody was on the tape. It's another to actually listen to it. Mm. You know, so, you know, if somebody has that audio and it shows up in a TV commercial, zowie.
All right, so the only name we haven't mentioned, that's probably a good thing, is Chris Kennedy, the Democrat who, I mean, what's the chances that Chris Kennedy can take on the progressive mantle and be the guy who recruits the Bernie voter? I mean, he kind of has played around the edges, even though he's got the big traditional Democrat name.
You know, it's really weird. Chris Kennedy, you keep expecting at some point he's going to gain traction and something's going to happen, but it's not. And the announcement that he last week that he was going to be announcing his running mate later. And we still haven't heard anything. It's Wednesday. You know, okay. You know, so why don't you have anybody? And, you know, again, he's got the same problem that Biss has, which is, you know, he's got to get signatures and petitions. And that's a huge, huge undertaking. I've run those campaigns. I've run those statewide campaigns. It's a lot of work.
Well, it's a great way to start. I mean, this is sort of the first week out to start this thing. Petitions are out, and I mean, we get news on the first Wednesday that we talk. The big story that nobody's talking about coming out of City Council today is a borrowing plan. More money being borrowed from Rahm Emanuel and the plan to move. We had the treasurer Kurt Summers on last night talking about finances and where we are as a city of Chicago. And what does this mean to essentially put forth a borrowing strategy to the City Council?
Well, I mean, it's basically the mayor now has authority to borrow at a lower rate for certain types of bonds, which is a good thing for the city. The city is always borrowing. It's constantly borrowing. And it's not because it's getting deeper and deeper in debt, but it's because big municipalities always have a lot of bonds that they're rolling. And Chicago actually, unfortunately, has an exceptional amount of debt that's been carried over from the daily years. So this will be a way that they can borrow less money, or that the cost of borrowing will be less over time. But the other thing, though, is that the city of Chicago is going to have bigger and bigger costs over time because we've put out into the out years until 2049, we're going to be raising the amount of money that we have to pay into our pension funds.
Right.
And this is part of the deal that was cut a couple of years back.
Last night,
when we just got started, remember you and I started on the radio? That's what we talked about all the time. And so, you know, this is going to be going on forever.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday to talk Chicago County and, of course, state politics. Mike, great to talk to you.
Good to be here.